Today on Annenberg Radio News.
This is one of those jobs that people, you don't even think, like, somebody really does the job, like the person who gets a dead person dressed before the funeral, you know.
Immigrants are getting the skills they need to take over jobs as baby boomers retire. Good afternoon, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 22nd, 2008. I'm Laura Weber. Earth Day celebrations are being held today in Los Angeles and across the nation. Timothy Beckworth reports from the festivities in the Wilshire District.
A whole section of Wilshire Boulevard was shut down today for Earth Day LA, as thousands of people turned out to celebrate green living in a city known for its smog. The event was sponsored by the Wilshire Center Business Improvement District and Earth Day Los Angeles. Hundreds of vendors and not-for-profit organizations set up booths to show people how they can protect the urban environment. The Wilshire Center is hoping today's event will help them create a cool district, trying to lower the greenhouse gas emissions in the Wilshire District without waiting for legislators to take the first steps. Jim Stewart runs the Earth Day Los Angeles Festival and says the response has been very encouraging.
We can do it ourselves. That's what's such a miracle is that the technology is available to make this a cool district.
One of the groups in attendance was South Central Farmers, which provides healthy food in low-income neighborhoods.
I mean, specifically in low-income areas, they want people to change their diet, but how do you expect to change their diet if it's not, the produce is not there? So that's what we're pushing for.
Police officials say there have been no problems with the event or closure of Wilshire. Thousands were expected to attend throughout the day to hear speakers and musicians such as Michael Franti. This is Timothy Beckworth with Annenberg Radio News.
Dozens of makeup artists are getting their hands dirty at Jesse Owens Park today to celebrate Earth Day this morning. Kelly Kidwell has the story.
Workers from Benefit Cosmetics were painting park benches and planting flowers today as part of LA County's Adopt a Park program. Benefit PR Director Sarah Reichman says the company wants to give back to the community.
We want to be able to keep everything that's there beautiful. You know, as a makeup company, we're into making people look good, and we want to do the same to our local parks.
The Adopt a Park program allows private companies to work with the county to improve parks in the community. LA County Parks and Recreation Marketing Analyst Martiz Washington says these parks play a critical role for area residents.
Parks are a source of community get-togethers, they're a source for relaxation, they're also a source for health and well-being, and also add to the property.
Benefit Cosmetics is also beautifying parks in New York and San Francisco today. Kelly Kidwell, Annenberg Radio News.
This morning, the City Council approved a bill that will make LA's buildings environmentally sustainable. As Stephanie Meisenheimer reports, the bill is already law.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa has signed a law that will require the city's developers to meet the country's strictest environmental building standards, appropriately, on Earth Day. After decades of poor environmental policies, the mayor says the city is at a turning point.
We've become a hotbed of creativity and a source of fresh ideas for green growth. We're setting the standard for green living.
Mayor Villaraigosa signed the bill at the Luma Condominium Complex in downtown LA, which has been certified as a leader in energy and environmental design. The mayor says that Luma is an example of what LA can and will do.
In the future, each and every building will have to measure up to these green standards. We're holding the private sector accountable to the commitment to be friends to the environment, and we're paving a green path that cuts emissions and cleans our air.
Residential and commercial buildings are the single largest source of carbon emissions in the U.S. With the signing of this green building ordinance, Los Angeles is on track to cut greenhouse gases by 35% in the next 30 years. Stephanie Meisenheimer, Annenberg Radio News.
The Screen Actors Guild has reached a deal that will allow nearly 100 independent movies to continue to production in the case that the actors decide to strike. The Screen Actors Guild and Hollywood Studios began contract negotiations on April 15th. Both sides have been tight-lipped about the discussions in an effort to avoid a repeat of the 100-day Hollywood writers' strike. Looking to the weather, we'll see some fog and light drizzle tonight with temperatures in the mid-50s. Wednesday and Thursday will reach the highs in 60s and lower 70s, with afternoon winds coming in from the west. Later on Annenberg Radio News, students react to a memorial commemorating the Armenian Genocide. More than 75,000 people were left in the dark last summer when the electrical grid failed in Los Angeles. And this summer might not be much better. LA's electrical infrastructure and its workforce are getting older, and the Department of Water and Power is having trouble finding enough workers to repair it. Amanda Becker reports on a program that's recruiting a new generation of utility workers and creating opportunities for high school students in South Los Angeles.
Okay, so there's a little place on number two for you to answer. Does it light up? What do you say?
No.
There's a little blank there for you. No. Remember that result for a second.
The students in this science class here at Los Angeles Trade Technical College are here with goals bigger than winning a school science fair. They hope the evenings and weekends they spend here will earn them a paycheck, not just a trophy.
Are you ready? Are you guys in the back with me? Yeah. Number three.
This is the first class graduating from the Los Angeles Infrastructure Academy, a pilot program that began in January to expose around 60 high school students to careers in the utility industries. The program's director, Marcus Castain, travels to some of LA's lowest performing high schools to tell students how the academy provides something that's often in short supply, career opportunities.
If you look at a young person who's graduating from high school, what are their realistic options in life? Particularly a poor kid coming out of one of our urban schools in Los Angeles. What are their options? They have college as one path, and many are interested in going down that path. But a lot want to make money right away, and their realistic options are that they go into fast food, they go into retail, they become a parking valet, or they join the military. Those aren't great options to have.
Castain was developing education programs for Mayor Villaraigosa last year and trying to keep teenagers in high school, not behind cash registers.
They had this huge discussion about dropouts. Over half of the students who start ninth grade don't finish 12th grade. Not many people looked into the question of, well, why do dropouts actually drop out? And until somebody went and did a scientific survey of all of them. And among the findings was that 81% of the students said that they wanted to see a connection between school and work, and they didn't feel like school prepared them for that.
So Castain set out to build that connection, and when a coworker introduced him to Pamela Porter, a light went off.
Well, a couple of years ago, the Department of Water and Power started to take a closer look at the impact of pending retirements. Depending on how you count it, it can be anywhere from 35% to over 50% of our employees are eligible for retirement in the next 5 to 7 years. I started working with Marcus Castain, who was then in the mayor's office, and we decided that we had a very strong combined package of interests.
I was interested in, generally, in career education. Yep. Pamela was concerned about how does she address her workforce challenge with all of these retiring baby boomers. So one of us was going to bring a supply of all these kids, and the other one was bringing a demand. And in putting it together, we found a lot of synergy.
Porter and Castain knew that pairing up was a good match. So they set out to design a program that encouraged a younger generation to think differently about water, electricity, and power.
We realized a couple of things. Number one, most young people have no idea what infrastructure is. Number two, they don't even know what a utility is. And they never think about any of the infrastructure behind turning on the tap and water comes out and flicking on a light switch and the light comes on.
So they came up with a program where students learn about job skills and careers in energy, on top of what they're already learning in school.
Our program is voluntary, and it's after school and on Saturdays and during the summertime. So it augments the rest of their education. It doesn't take any time away from anything else that they're doing. What we provide is career exposure and soft skills training. We do field trips. We set them up with industry mentors.
The result is what infrastructure student Patrick Gillette might call illuminating.
It's one of those jobs that people, you don't even think like somebody really does the job, like the person who gets a dead person dressed before the funeral. You know, it's just like, nobody even knows about that job. How do you even get that job? So, no, I didn't know about any of it.
But now he does. After Patrick graduates from high school this spring, he plans to get his water purification certification and work in green energy. And entry-level wages will be double what he'd make in a restaurant or store. Patrick admits his friends think he's a little nutty for volunteering for extra school, but that may be the most important lesson he's learned this spring.
Yeah, they're not too happy about me giving up my weekends or nothing, but, it's about me.
A lesson Marcus Castain hopes will encourage more high school students to apply for the 4 new classes the Infrastructure Academy is adding this summer. Amanda Becker, Annenberg Radio News.
The debate over immigration often focuses on the problems, but at a conference held today at USC, the topic was on the reliance on immigrants. Emily Henry tells us about a rise of a new working class hero.
A working class hero is something to be.
The working class are the heroes of the Californian economy. But as baby boomers move into retirement, there are concerns that the workers replacing them won't have the adequate skills. Ernesto Cortez is director of the nonprofit organization Industrial Heirs Foundation.
The California economy and the Texas economy and the United States economy is going to depend upon whether or not we make serious investments in people who are, you know, 18 to 25. The vast majority of those folks are immigrants.
U.S. Census Bureau figures show that almost half of the workforce in L.A. are immigrants, and the number is growing. But 60% lack English language skills and high school diplomas. The statistics highlight a serious problem in California's growing workforce.
Our ability to maintain a high-powered economy is dependent upon investment in those workers. What will happen is we will have serious labor shortages all across the American economy, in healthcare, in construction, in the ports, in agribusiness, in hospitality industries. The skilled workers, those workers are going to be retiring.
A conference at USC today discussed the issue of immigrant integration and the American future. Panelists from academia and employment organizations discussed the economy's reliance on immigrant workers and the impact that industries like healthcare will suffer without a properly trained workforce.
The problem is not that Americans don't want these jobs, it's that these jobs are not right for any human being.
The kind of impact we're going to feel with the healthcare system, is, I'm almost frightened to think about what could possibly happen.
There's a wealth of successful examples where immigrants have helped change local policies when they're at the table.
The IAF initiates job training, education, and citizenship programs for African Americans and Latinos. Cortez believes that immigrants need to be properly educated and professionally trained to curb the widening divide between rich and poor.
Well, the most important issue is how do we create a shared prosperity? How do we recognize that there's a relationship between immigrants and boomers, people who, like me, are going to be retiring?
Tom Holler is with One LA. They're working with the community college system of California to help immigrant workers even the playing field with a good education.
To create a pipeline to the community colleges and then connect it to employment so that there's a pathway to middle-class jobs for people who otherwise, you know, wouldn't have them.
But the program's funding can only last so long and needs to be increased to benefit the entire working-class community of Los Angeles.
That is, though, the important question, how to do this to scale. And to do it to scale is going to take a significant public investment.
In the next few years, California's task force will transition from baby boomer to immigrant. But to stabilize the economy, cities like Los Angeles will have to nurture their new working class heroes. Emily Henry, Annenberg Radio News.
A working class hero is something to be. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.
East LA Community College is training a strong workforce to fill the jobs opening in the coming years. I spoke with school president Ernest Moreno earlier today. He said among the jobs that will be vital to fill are green-collar careers, such as solar panel installation.
I think it's a real important responsibility we have as community colleges to try to get at the forefront of this new technology.
What sparked your interest in developing skilled workers?
Well, it's clearly a responsibility for our educational system to be supportive of our service area, and in the sense that we should be looking towards trying to develop educational programs to meet the skills required for upcoming jobs and careers. So clearly, being on the ground floor of the development of skilled labor for the implementation, installation of environmentally friendly projects is really very important. I think we should go about restoring our prominence and developing the sophistication and skill level that we need to have in order to become competitive for our own industries.
How important is the education of immigrants and people who have moved here from other countries? How important will that be to the LA area?
Well, our purpose is to provide educational opportunities to our community. It's what community college is. The idea that we're really trying to establish a workforce that benefits us all, that people are contributing members to our society. The reality is that we're trying to find a way of improving all of us, a rising tide floats all boats, my perspective. So my sense is that I wouldn't necessarily zero in on a particular group. Our effort here is to provide the necessary workforce to essentially meet the needs of our industry.
You mentioned green jobs, like you were talking about solar panel installation. How much of a factor is that going into the future now that there is this extra attention being paid to green jobs?
Well, you know, there are some real economic advantages now. If we are able to save nearly $280,000 of annual costs and energy in installing these panels and producing 70% of our energy needs throughout the day, at least during the daytime hours. I mean, these are real positive things because those dollars now can be utilized to offer other educational opportunities to the community. I mean, it really is important for us to recognize that we have an opportunity now to be first and get on the ground floor and have people prepared to take on these new occupations. There's that industry of environmental issues, the various alternative sources of fuel and energy. We also know that the demand for health care is coming up. You know, there's a variety of challenges we need to meet.
Today is the anniversary of Armenian genocide. Daryl Perinata reports.
Imagine 1.5 million people being killed and hardly anyone acknowledging it. It's unimaginable, but it happens 93 years ago. Many people do not know about the Armenian genocide of 1915, when the Ottoman Empire attempted to mass exterminate the Armenian race. To spread awareness about the genocide, a Field of Crosses was placed across McCarthy Quad at USC today. Beatrice Kuznich is a USC senior who stopped by to take a look.
Well, not a lot of people have heard about the Armenian genocide, so this allows people to actually learn about history other than, like, U.S. and some of the more renowned Holocausts and stuff, because this was the first genocide of the 20th century, but the United States hasn't recognized it, so there's not much discussion about it. It brings awareness to the people.
While Turkey acknowledges that many people died, it believes there were conflicts between both Armenians and Turks, and the massacres were a result of ethnic violence in World War I. Tomorrow, a field of carnations will be planted at the Quad to represent each of the 10,000 lives lost in the genocide. Daryl Perinata, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Kate Kogirin to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Laura. Tonight on Annenberg TV News, we'll have the latest on the Pennsylvania primaries and the role the superdelegates will have in the race for the White House. It's Earth Day at USC. Find out what the university is doing to make USC a greener place. We'll have that and more, so please watch us tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision, or you can catch us live on the web at atvn.org.
That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Emily Henry, Hannah Kim, Sonata Lee, and Daryl Perinata. Catherine Reese is our producer. Matt Mundy is the executive producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Laura Weber.